My dad's timeless messages continue to point people to Jesus through the Christian Worship Hour. We are grateful to hear your stories from the notes and letters you send. From Missouri, we heard, "I am 98 years old and still teach a Bible study. God has been good to me. My mind is great. My health is a struggle. But the Lord helps me get around. I just depend on Him. I've watched Pastor Salem for years. Thank you for continuing to televise his sermons. I pray for you every day." Today, Dad's message, "The Jericho Road," addresses the most important question in life: where will I spend eternity? May God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Once again, here we are. God has brought us through another week, and so we're going to gather together to worship Him all over the world. Just can you imagine that? We have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, and we have a lot of people that don't know Jesus, and we want you to come to know Jesus just like we have accepted Him, and we'll all be together in heaven. Wouldn't that be glorious? Well, we're going to be talking about the Jericho Road today, and that has an application to every one of us, Christians and non-Christians alike. But we're looking at Psalm 66, where the psalmist writes, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee, and all sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name." And Lord Jesus in heaven, God in heaven, we are singing to You. The whole world is coming to You today to worship You and to praise You. And we pray that multitudes will come and be born again, come to Jesus and find salvation and find the joy and the happiness that we have. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing a song. I know you're going to like it. "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Thank you. God bless you, Jan.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Tears. I'm fixed upon it. Mount of
Thank you, Jan. What a beautiful song. And you know what this song is saying? It's saying that God is a fountain, and from that fountain he pours blessings, and from that fountain these blessings flow all over the world. Come thou fount of every blessing. And that means that every blessing we get from God. We sure don't get it from the devil, because the devil is just the reverse. And wherever he goes, there's sorrow and grief and sin and destruction. And he damns the world and hates the world because he knows his day is ending and he's going to be in a pit. He's going to be in the lake of fire forever. And so there's this psalm writer saying, here's a fountain and it's pouring blessings throughout all the world. And the greatest blessing of all is Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you have God's best. And you don't have Jesus till you take him into your heart, so you stay with us. We want you, if you haven't done that, do it today. The smartest thing you could ever do. Well, we have some letters. Love to share these letters with you. Storm Lake, Iowa. When I was in the hospital for my stroke, the nurse turned on the TV to Christian Worship Hour. I have watched the program ever since. And so here's a nurse, or one of the attendants, and she's tuned in the Christian Worship Hour for this person. I can't remember if this is a lady or a gentleman, doesn't matter. And they've been listening ever since. And so that's what we need to do. Tell people about the Christian Worship Hour. Get them to tune in. And maybe, who knows what God's going to do? You just don't know. Just keep at it. You're all missionaries. Help us get the word out. The wonderful words about Jesus. Miles City, Montana. I put this one in special. I'll tell you why. Enclosed is a donation to keep your program going. We really enjoy watching on Sundays. We like your sermons as they relate to the Bible and is a history lesson as well. Our dog likes to watch you as well. Keep up the good work and keep the faith. Now I said, oh, yeah, he wanted you to hear about the dog. Nope, that's not it. You know, I'm 1930s, maybe 1934, 35. I used to go with my dad to Miles City, Montana to the sheep show. And he'd sell sheep there, he'd buy sheep there, and he'd do business. And then we drove all the way back to Belle Fouche. And there wasn't really a fancy road in those days. And we're an old pickup, 1930s. We went to Miles City, and was I ever proud to go to Miles City, Montana. So I'm just so happy that they are able to watch us there. Just blesses my soul. And just know you're a blessing to us, and I hope we are to you. Here's Salem, Oregon. It means a lot to hear your closing each week. The Christian Worship Hour loves you, and Jesus loves you. I love you. God blesses us, everyone. I wait for that loving closure each week. I really feel you're looking right at me through the TV. Means a lot to a lonely guy in prison. Thank you. See you Sunday morning. Well, he's got it right. It sure comes from my heart. And it comes from the heart of all these people. You know, those of us who have these services, we do it without pay. All our volunteers, we have one technician. We have to run this machinery here. And the rest have been doing it. We've been going now for 10 years in this studio. And the ministry itself started 40 years ago. And it's all people who love the Lord. And they love you. And we want you to come to Jesus. And we want you to be in heaven with us. It just won't be right if you're not there. And you can be there, and it is so simple. My daughter Patty accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now, and she knows about the day she accepted Jesus. Don't come around and tell me children can't accept the Lord. I did it when I was 10 and I was dumb for my age. And Patty at 5. And so we want you to know Jesus. You just say, Jesus, just tell him you're a sinner. You want to maybe confess some of your sins, that's fine. But just tell him you're a sinner. And just ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And then you promise to turn from those sins. Don't keep living in the pig pen. You're going to be a sheep now. You're not a pig for Satan, but you're a sheep for Jesus. So you got to clean up. You never see a sheep in a pig pen. No way. They wouldn't even drink the water there. Pigs, they guzzle it down, but sheep wouldn't touch it. So you're a sheep now. You're not a goat. You're not a pig. You're something special. So I hope that you'll just know that we mean it. Every word, we mean it. God loves you, and we love you too. Here's Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I do pray to God to come into my life. I open my heart to him, but still I doubt. I do believe in God, and I believe God will come to me one day. Well, here's a perfect verse for this dear brother. This was a man that wrote. It's Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. Jesus is telling us, I'm knocking at your heart's door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So don't worry anymore. He wants to come in, but he's not going to break down the door. And he's not a trespasser. And if you don't want him, you can go without him. He's made you so you can turn him down. You can go your route with Satan. And won't that be something in the lake of fire? Because that's where you're going to be. The devil and his angels and all of his followers, the lake of fire in the book of Revelation. And so this wonderful Lord, just ask him into your heart. In your own way, you say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to Jesus, that's all. He'll get the message. Palm Harbor, Florida. I pray every day to be forgiven for my sins. Sins I remember from when I was young. Do I pray forgiveness for these sins for the rest of my life? Now, I want to tell this as a lady here. I want to tell you something. We all wrestle with that. We all think about those sins we did in another day, in another age. But we shouldn't do that because this is what God tells us. He tells us in Isaiah 1, verse 18. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that means new shorn wool. See, the wool is all dirty and ragged from the outside. When you shear that wool off, it's just glistening white, lanolin white. I used to tie wool for sheep shears, I know, and they're beautiful white and clean. And when you accept Jesus, all your sins are forgiven, all past sins and all future sins, all forgiven at once. And Jesus said, and God says in Hebrews 10:4, yet their sins and iniquities will I remember them no more. So God doesn't remember them, so you don't remember. Don't try not to think about them. And I guess the thing that helped me the most was I read about St. Paul. And Paul had lived a terrible life before he was saved, before he came to the Lord. And he had called people to blaspheme. And he put people in prison. He punished them. And he saw Stephen die. He agreed to Stephen's death, young, godly Stephen. And Paul had a terrible past. And this is what he said. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus. And what Paul is saying, put those sins behind you. You got to look at something, but don't look back. Get your eyes on Jesus and press toward the mark. Jesus is the mark. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Forget the past. God has forgotten it, and you should forget it too. One time, not double jeopardy with God. When he forgives our sins, they're forgiven forever. Here's Palm Harbor. Let me see. No, I guess I read that. You maybe got it the first time. Maybe I have to read it again. Here's Worth, Missouri. I want to let you know how much I love to hear your service. I was very depressed, and one day I said, I need to turn to God or I don't think I would make it. Since that day, I looked for a program that preached simply enough so a child could understand. When I found you, I knew I did. I did find him. I found Jesus. I'm much better today with God in my heart. Thank you. And so when I read that letter, I thought, isn't that wonderful? Here's a person, and they're just in despair, and they're in despondency, and they're in the pit, and they're looking for their way out, and they look to Jesus, and there they found it. And I thought of the psalmist in Psalm 40 and the opening verses. This is what he said. He had the same problem that you had, brother or sister. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me, and he heard my cry, and he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock, and he established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 40. Isn't that beautiful? That's the Christian worship bar. That's what we're doing all the time. You may be deep in sin. You may be some have awful sins. And I had a lady tell me one time, if I got baptized, the water would turn black. She thought that baptism washed away her sins. But you know what washes away the sins? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And no matter what your sins are, he'll wash them away. And you're not beyond hope. If you have breath to call on the name of the Lord, you know, that dying thief, he was dying. He had just his last breath. He says, Lord, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He asked Jesus to help him, to save him. And did he get to heaven? Oh, I hope he did. I wonder if he did. I know he did because Jesus said, today. That's how close heaven is. He's on the cross that morning. That night, he's walking the streets of gold, saved by the blood of Jesus. And that's as good for you. You just ask Jesus to save you. And if you mean it, just ask him as much as you can. And now one of the verses helped me so much. My favorite verse of the Bible is John 5:24, where Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it, and believeth on him that sent me, you believe, hath everlasting life. That minute you believe, you have everlasting life. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. And then Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. He says, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life, heaven. Oh, the gospel. I love the gospel. There's hope for anybody. No one is beyond it. Come to Jesus. Do it right now. And then here's one I got, Sioux City, Iowa. I kind of laughed about this. I'll share it with you. They say, we listen every Sunday in Sioux City, Iowa to your service. I like how you break down your messages so I can understand them. I'm a disabled Vietnam vet, and do not drive, so I really enjoy your broadcast. P.S. I don't read or write very well, so I'm having my sister write this for me. Thank you so much. We're always happy to hear from the service people and appreciate them so much. But when he says he had this, his sister write it for him, I thought of this fellow. He was at the post office, and he wanted to send a card, but didn't know how to write. And he finally found a fellow, and he said, I'll write it for you. And so he dictated, and he wrote on this letter for this man. And then when he got done, he says, now I'll read it back and see if it's all right. So the fellow that wrote the letter read it back to this other fellow and read a letter, and he got done. And the other fellow says, oh, would you put a P.S. on there? A P.S. say, pardon my poor writing. You know, God have mercy on some of these people. But I thought of that when this fellow had my sister write. She's a good writer, by the way. One other. I just love these letters. They got so much meaning to us. They teach us so much. And maybe we're answering some questions that you're asking. Maybe I'm preaching a whole sermon. I'm answering questions you're not even asking. You're not even interested in it, see? So we know where people are on this. One last letter, Darren, Illinois. I found you on TV about a year ago. You brought me back to the family of God. And I thought that's beautiful because it's not just getting people to accept Jesus. It's helping people that have drifted away. And the devil never gives up on anybody. And he would get everyone to backslide. He'd get everyone to sin if he could. That's his business. And he has demons. He has maybe a million demons. He has a lot of demons. And they all help him. And they all help him in this business. And so he wants you to sin. He wants you to drift off. He knows that he's lost you and he knows you're going to go to heaven. But he wants you to drift away from the Lord and break that fellowship and just be miserable, see? And then sometimes I have people say, I knew it was wrong. I did it anyway. I knew it was wrong. God will never forgive that. He showed me. He warned me. He talked to me. Doesn't matter. God says, if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins. He says that no matter what your sin is, God's grace is greater than all of our sins. And he wants you to come back. And if you have problems with that, Jesus told a parable. And he told it just for people that were drifted away. We call them backsliders. But there's people that drifted away and you got away from the Lord or leaving their first love for the Lord. He had a parable. He talked about that. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. And you know the story, so I don't need to take time on that. But the prodigal son came to his senses. He was in the pig pen eating husks. And for a Jewish boy, that would be the last thing on earth. But he had nothing, and all of his buddies and all of his friends and his girlfriends, they'd long gone when he spent his last dollar. They were out of sight. They were looking for some other sucker. And here he is, and he says, you know, my dad, my father, he has servants that live better than this. I'm going back to dad. I'm going back to my father. And he says, I don't know if he'll let me in. He probably won't even talk to me because I spend... I took my portion of the inheritance, I spent it all. He probably won't have anything to do with me. And what does the Bible say? Well, the boy was coming home. Dad was sitting on the porch. And while the boy was a long, long way, his dad had those spy glasses looking for that boy to come back home. And he ran out. And the father ran to the son. And they never do that in the Middle East. The father never runs to the wayward son. That son comes and asks for permission. And the father ran to the son and hugged him, and he smelled like a pig pen. And he says, let's have a party. My son came home. And he wants you to come home. And you said, what are your sins? Just tell him you're sorry. Turn from it. Ask him to forgive you. He'll do it every time. So if you've done some of these things, accepted the Lord, and you want to write to us, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And I want to tell you something about the Christian Worship Hour. When we give our service, we always ask for an offering because our only source of income is God's people. And if you don't help us, then we're going to just have to close shop. And so you just think about this. You say, now, what does God want me to do? And God will say, well, should I support these people? Should I stand with these people? And then God will say, yes, they're preaching the word. I want you to support them. And you say, how much? And then he'll tell you how much. And you say, that much? Or I don't know what you'll say. But we have to have your help. And I know what you're thinking. What will they do with this money? How can I trust them? I don't know these people. And that televangelist up there, he looks kind of suspicious to me. I don't know. I'm just nervous about the whole thing. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books every year, every page. And we spend every penny just the way we do it. We have it in our budget. And it's all given to the preaching of the gospel. We pay some salaries and things like the rest we have to, and rent and stuff. But all of the money goes, the rest of the money goes to the preaching of the gospel. And if you want to have our little booklet, it's called It's called the New Song, and I know you'll enjoy that. Or our film, The Heart of a Shepherd. You write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as God directs. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. You've been so faithful and loyal. Appreciate your ministry of music. We're reading from Luke chapter 10, and Jesus tells a story of the Jericho Road. And so we want you to follow along if you can, as I know some of you do. Luke chapter 10, and we start with the 21st verse. And then in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Ethiopia. And some of these people could be worshiping with us right now, because on shortwave radio, we cover 95% of the world's population. So we have good reason to believe that we're preaching, we're ministering with the persecuted churches in our congregation. And we want them to know we have them on our heart. We pray for them all the time. And we admire them. And I just wonder if I could stand under it. I just don't know if I could trust myself. But they are just as true as they can be. And they're going to wear a martyr's crown. Won't that be something? Here's Luke chapter 10. Jesus, he says, behold, a certain lawyer, and he's talking about how this takes place. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him, and Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. This is a true story. And we thank you that you're teaching us to love our neighbor as ourselves, that you're teaching us that we should care for others and that we should love God with all of our heart, with our mind and soul and body, that you should be first in our life and we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things will be added unto you. Lord, there are now lessons here for all of us. And so as we bring this message today, may we all be open to the leading of the Spirit. And if you talk to us, help us to say, as Isaiah said when he stood before the great king and he said, here am I, send me. And we want to know, Lord, here am I. Speak to me and have your will. And Lord, I just want to pray. We're praying today for our brothers and sisters in Ethiopia. And we know that some of them are hard places. Some of them have seen death and some have had loved ones taken and homes broken up. And oh, help them to know that we just do pray for them. And we pray that, God, we know that you're going to give them the strength to stand up for you. And because they stand up for you, the body of Christ is stronger. And it encourages all of us and it challenges all of us to serve more and to give more and to be more dedicated and to stand side by side with brothers and sisters who are suffering today. So, Lord, this is your service. Use it as you see fit. Use it to your own honor and glory. And we will always be careful to give you all the thanks and the praise because, dear Lord, it's your doings, yours alone. Thank you, Jesus. In the Savior's name, amen. And Hank's going to sing, and he's got a song you're going to love. I will sing the wondrous story. God bless you, Hank.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it where the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters over me. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I will meet. Oh yes, I'll see the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Oh yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. I'll sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Thank you, Hank. I'm going to tell you, the one that named that song named it right. The wondrous story, just think of it. And you never get tired of it. I've been preaching 75 years, and I never get tired of preaching the wonderful gospel. It's always fresh, it's always new, it's always wonderful. And when I preach that wonderful, glorious gospel, and nobody is beyond redemption. Nobody except he's a corpse. If he's dead, then I can't help you. But if you have an ounce of life, you can be born again. You can come to Jesus. You can have your sins washed away and you can go to heaven. It's a wondrous story. It never grows old. Well, we're going to have a different story today. We're going to talk the story about the Jericho Road. And this is a parable that Jesus gave, and it's very informative and it's very teaching. And it's sometimes it's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it is a story that every listener understood well because it was a daily event that took place in that part of the country at that time. The parable comes out of an outcry from the question of a scribe or a lawyer. And he was in the spiritual thing, the scriptures. And Jesus is visiting in Jerusalem, visiting the Feast of the Dedication. And it was probably on this occasion that this lawyer, this scribe, came to him and he asked a question, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And now let me say, this is absolutely the most important question in all of the world. The most important question that you can ever ask, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is the most important question because it takes care of eternity for us. It's not what we're going to do in time, because time is just a few years. But eternity is forever, doesn't even have years. It is forever, it never ends. It goes on forever. And they are saying, what must I do to be saved here? Would to God that everyone would ask that. I want to have eternal life, this man is saying. Other people ask that question. The rich young ruler asked that, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Matthew 19, verse 16. The Pharisees asked that question in Matthew 25, verse 35. The scribes ask that question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In Mark 12, verse 25, a certain ruler asked that question in Luke 18, verse 18, they're asking that question, and it is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And I just pray to God that every one of you are asking that question. It is the most important question on earth that you'll ever ask. Where am I going to spend eternity? I'm going to spend it in heaven or I'm going to spend it in hell. I'm going to spend it someplace. And furthermore, I'm going to decide where I'm going to send it. I'm going to come to Jesus and spend it in heaven, or I'm going to stay with the devil and spend it in hell. That's all there is to it. Your wife doesn't make that decision. Your husband doesn't that. Your parents don't do it. We have letters, people who are young people. They're coming to the college in town. We try to get to them and talk to them about their soul. But they're only one person. You are the one to decide. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers this question. It was written in and he asks this young man, what is written in the law? And so the Jewish lawyer must have been surprised because he answers right out and he answers Jesus and he says, the answer is, he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And so he knew the answer to the question, and he answered it. And Jesus says, this do, and thou shalt live. Now be careful. It says, rightly divide the word of truth. So listen to what Jesus is saying. First of all, no one will ever inherit eternal life by his own merit or his own good works. There's no question about it, and Jesus isn't saying that here. Eternal life comes through loving and trusting God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is the work on the cross. And he is unable to keep the law perfectly. The person, the sinner, is unable to keep the law. So he goes to Jesus, who kept the law in his place. And it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we can say, this, like Jesus said, it is faith in Jesus Christ. It's a faith in trusting in him. And we have to be sure of this, because if you want to get to the law, heaven, by keeping the law, then you can't break the law in one point. And if you have one evil thought, one evil thought of lust, one thought of hatred, one thought, you're in hell. And so it has to be Jesus, because he never sinned. He was sinless. He was the Son of God. He was God the Son, and he was sinless. And his blood makes the way of salvation for us. You see, the scribe is smug in feeling that he really loves God because he tries to keep the law and traditions. But actually, he doesn't really love God, for had he done so, he would have loved his neighbor. But he didn't love his neighbor, so he didn't love God as he should, see? And so Jesus tells a parable, and all the people are standing by and they're listening, and he tells this parable. And he says, a traveler going from Jerusalem to Jericho is waylaid, and he's beaten, and he's robbed, and he's left to die. Not much is told of this traveler. We don't know if he's a Jew or a Gentile. We don't know his rank. We don't know his descent. We don't know his religion. We're only told one thing. He was a man. He was a human being. This man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's the shortest route by far to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this priest and these Levites, they served the temple in Jerusalem, but a lot of them lived in Jericho because it was so nice, so they traveled back and forth. It was about a 20-mile trip, but they had to go through a rocky pass. And so in the rocky pass, there were robbers, there were plunderers, and they were just waiting for people to come by, especially a single person. And they would pounce on that man, they would beat him and rob him and leave him to die and take whatever money he had. The thieves and the robbers plundered and harming and hurting people. And so that's what happened to this man. And then so Jesus talks about the priest and the Levite. These people are the people who show no compassion. They are so selfish that they think only of themselves. They don't think of anybody else or any person else. Both the priest and the Levite were frequent travelers between Jerusalem and Jericho. The priest served in the temple, and the Levite assisted the priest. And so they would maybe sometimes travel together. These priests and Levites lived in Jericho, as I said. And Lightfoot, distinguished Bible scholar, says there were no less than 12,000 living in Jericho at this time. 12,000 priests and Levites living in Jericho, traveling to do their hours or days in the temple, and then traveling back to their home. This traveling, this way they traveled, was full. It was a rocky pass. It was narrow, and there were caves. And the place was called, there was a 5th century scholar, Jerome, says it was called the Red or the Bloody Road, because so many people were struck down. And there was a man named H.V. Morton in the 1930s told not to travel that path after dark, because it was a terrible road to travel. And that was the road this unfortunate traveler was taking place when he was beaten and robbed and left to die. So the priest and the Levite passed by, and they didn't help him. They didn't do a thing for him, even though it was their duty to do so. They were to help their neighbor and anybody in need, but they absolutely refused to do it. And so they passed out. They passed on the other side. In some ways, the Levite acted better than the priest. In some ways, he was worse. He was better because he had heart to go over and look and had compassion enough to look at him. But he was worse because he just took that compassion and squelched it and went on and left the man lying there, lying to die. And then comes the Samaritan, Jesus says. The Samaritan comes on the scene and he comes to help and to bless. He immediately goes to the man who had been beaten and robbed and left to die. And the Samaritan belonged to a race of people who was despised by both the Jews and the Gentiles because they were half Jew and half Gentile. They were half-breeds. They were looked down upon. They were called dogs and outcasts. That's the Samaritan. And the despised Samaritan comes, and Jesus calls attention to all the acts that the Good Samaritan did. He went to him. He bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine into them. He placed that man on his own beast. He took him to the inn down the road. He took out 2 pence for expenses. That is, it was the equivalent, 2 pence was equivalent to 2 days' wages. And he gave instruction to take care of him, and he promised to pay later if there was more money needed. The wounded man was no rich noble. It is in the fact because he had to ask for credit. If in case he needed more, he'd have to get more to help him. And so here's this man. He takes him to the inn and helps him. Now Jesus asked the lawyer, and he's undoubtedly caught up by the story. It's an enthralling story. And he asked the lawyer, which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Before the lawyer can remind, you know, there's sometimes I think they talk without thinking, but he did this one, didn't think. And he answered right away, and he says, he that showed mercy on him. That was the correct answer. And that was the only answer. And that's what that, he doesn't say the word Samaritan. Oh, they didn't use the word Samaritan. He says, he that came and showed mercy on him. Jesus challenges him and says, you go and you do likewise. Now, in many ways, this story pictures mankind. The devil has robbed us and stripped mankind of our innocence in the Garden of Eden. The devil has been so evil and wicked that he's broken our fellowship with God, and he's broken our spiritual life with him, our spiritual fellowship with him. He has been robbed. He has robbed and beaten and left to die, and humanity is there. The devil has stripped us, and he's left us on the brink of a Christless eternity. That's what the devil has done for us. Many have passed by that were unable to help us. Moses couldn't help us. The law couldn't help us. Aaron couldn't help us. All the sacrifices of the bull and goats couldn't help us. The patriarch, the prophet, and the priest, none of them could help us. We were hopeless, and then the Good Samaritan comes by. Jesus comes by. He tore away our filthy rags of sin. He bound up our wounds with his love, and he poured the Holy Spirit within us to comfort us and to help us. He lifted us up and he established our goings. He gave us a home in glory. He gave us everything we possess today. Friends, I want to tell you something. That was the message that Vernon Egger brought and preached when I was 10 years old, the Good Samaritan. And I knew I had dirty rags, and I wanted to be clean. And I went up to Jesus and asked Jesus, and he washed away my sins. And that was the parable. Now, what do we take from this parable? The first thing is, always remember this, the other side is always the easiest side. It's easier to walk by, not to be a good Samaritan, not to be a good neighbor, but to walk on the other side. The other side is the easiest side. And that gives us more time to go fishing and boating and golfing and I don't know what all you do. But we have time for everything we want. I tell you, listen, friends, we have time for what we really want to do. You can mark that down. And they didn't want to help this man. It was the easiest side. The other side was more pleasant, too. It was a lot easier than going to this man and binding up this wounds. None of the pleasant things in the world, to be sure. But this man, with the robbers were there. And maybe while they were helping him, the Good Samaritan was helping the beaten man. Maybe the robbers would rob him, because sometimes they did that. They leave a beaten man out there in the street, in the way. And then when they quit, we tried to help him, the robbers would rob him too. They had it all planned. And so he took chances here. It hurts to share a broken heart with people. It hurts to go out of our way to help somebody. We put ourselves in danger of people talking, and people may be taking too much time of us. We just don't like it, and so we take it's the more pleasant side to walk on the side of the priest and the Levi. It is the most inconspicuous side. The Samaritan's ministry was undoubtedly done in obscurity. No one saw it, but God saw it. And I think of the persecuted church, of how they have to suffer, and oh, my dear Lord, and how they give all to Jesus, and how they're willing to, no matter what the cost, they stand up for the Lord, even though it cost their life. And Jesus saying, you have to be a good Samaritan. You have to love God. You'll never be a good Samaritan if you love God with all your heart and soul and mind and being. Then we love our neighbor as ourselves. But we never love our neighbor and not to love our God. God has to be first. And so you say, how can I be like the good Samaritan? And that is, you must be put to do it right. You must have Jesus in your heart first. You have to experience the love of God through Jesus Christ before you can share the love of God. You can't give something away that you don't have. You must loosen up your purse strings like this man here, this good Samaritan. It cost him, and he gave all that he had, and probably all he had, till he would do another day's work. And so it's going to cost something. It's going to take a place. But it's the only way to travel. If you want to really serve God, and I'm putting myself in your boat because I'm not sure I love my neighbor as myself either. And we have to love God so much that we love anybody that is in trouble and in need, and we care for them, and we go out of the way if we possibly can. And that's the message God is telling us today. He's telling us that there's a world out there that's hurting. There's a lot of people being taken disadvantage of. There may be your next door neighbor is having a problem, and you need to help him and do something for that. But whatever it is, we have to have the love of God. And that love of God comes through knowing Jesus. You see, you say, well, I want to have the love of God. I want to show that the only way you can have it is for him to give you that love, to pour the love of God, because God is love. And when we pour God's love into our hearts, it will show in our life, in our way we live, in the way we walk. And so I'm praying today, make that first step. And I'm going to tell you exactly what will happen. The devil will tell you to put it off. The devil will say, now do it in another time. Don't do it now. Do it another time. And if you can put it off, that's saying no. You say, I want eternal life. And I know if I have Christ in my life, I'll have eternal life, and then I can work on these other things. And so you write and you pray. And you pray, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll serve you the best I can. And I'll turn from those sins. And thank you, Jesus. And then you write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I have all you folks on shortwave, and I know that some of the shortwave are reaching these people that are really suffering today, and I want you to know that we're praying for you, and we're standing behind you, and we're going to support you the best way we can. And we want to have this wonderful Savior in our heart, because when Jesus comes into our heart, the whole world changes. I've had Jesus in my heart for 87 years, and I've failed him a million times. But every time I failed him, I've gone to him and said, I told him I'm sorry. And he says, if we confess our sins, he'll forgive us our sins. He'll take away all our sins. And his wonderful grace, and only Christianity has grace. No one else has grace. Christianity has the grace of God. And the grace of God is unmerited favor. He gives us favor that we don't deserve. That's our wonderful God. So now we're going to pray, dear Jesus. We just pray that you'll help many turn to you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help them to find everlasting life and live that life. Pray for the young people. Pray for the children. Pray for the shut-ins. Pray for them all. In Jesus' name, amen. So now we're going to be looking for your letter, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Or you can send a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want our little newsletter, the new song, you also write to us. You got your address there. Or if you want to have our new film, it's an hour film. It's a wonderful film to help people come to Jesus. It's made out just for that one thing. It's an hour film to come to Jesus called The Heart of a Shepherd. And you write and say, I'd like to have the film. We'll send that. And if you wonder about the use of the money, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. God bless you. And now we want you to know God loves you. God loves you so much He gave His Son. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we've brought for over 40 years, we've been preaching this same message, the wonderful, glorious gospel. And we're doing it because we love you and we want to have you in heaven. And I want to tell you, I sure love you the best way I know how. And I just wish I could do a better job of presenting it. But I don't need to worry. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit takes all of my words and He applies them to your heart. And then you say, yes, I want Jesus. God bless you. By the grace of God, we'll see you next week. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.